Okay, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Alison Purvis and I'm the Head of Learning, Teaching and Assessment in Health and Wellbeing. What I'm going to do in the next 10 minutes or so is demonstrate a tool that we used in the Department of Sport, and we started using this quite some time ago, probably nearly 10 years ago now, and over time it's developed and it's become more refined. I wouldn't say it's a particularly refined tool, but it's practical, it's useful, and it's something that colleagues have found quite practical and useful. So it's an Excel spreadsheet, so there's nothing glamorous here, there's no big technological solution. It's something we all have on our desktops that we can use, but what we've done here is use some of the things within Excel to speed up some of the processes of assessment. What we found was that we were spending a lot of time, because everything was electronic, even back then we were doing electronic assessments, spending a lot of time typing in students' names, typing in details, typing in the module for the feedback sheets, and we're doing those repetitive actions over and over again. And it struck me as being a total waste of time if we could try and automate some of that, but I didn't really have an idea about how to do it until, like I say, about 10 years ago, I went to what was then known as the Learning and Teaching Institute. Some of you who've been in long enough might remember it, in our SET Centre. And every Thursday there was a seminar there where we talked about something to do with learning and teaching. And at that seminar, John Kirkwood, who's left the institution now, John Kirkwood presented a spreadsheet. And it was very basic, but what it did was took a class list and made some feedback sheets, and it automated some of the functions. So like I say, I'm going to demonstrate it now. It's come a long way since then, and I'll show you what it does. And you might think of how you might be able to use that, to use this, and then we'll have a bit of a discussion. It's not the solution for everything, that's not what I'm saying here. It's a tool in your toolbox. So I'll show you how it works. So in the spreadsheet, there's a number of tabs along the bottom. So it's got the information about the spreadsheet. It's got some detailed instructions on how to use it. And it does look quite laborious, but it's very detailed and makes sure that all the information is there. Then it's got the actual feedback sheet, which is based on an assessment grid, which is also housed in one of these tabs. So you may have assessments already that have feedback grids. So you've got your criteria down the side here, and then you've got basically a comment, something that would reflect first class or even over 80% class mark for that particular criteria, and so on. So I'm sure you've all got grids, or you've at least seen grids like that already. So the basis underneath this is not complicated, and it's something you may already have. I also have a class list inputted here, and I've just got this off the timetabling system. So you go to your online tools and you can download class lists. The information I need is a student number, the name, and the course that they are on. And then what I can do is generate a whole number of feedback sheets. So there are macros within this spreadsheet. So all I have to do is press some keys, and you can see along the bottom the tabs are being created. I should have chosen a slightly shorter class list, but we're getting there. And it'll actually give me an error message when I get to the end. So it's not fancy, but it works, because when I get to the end, it says, oh, there's no more. That's fine, we're finished. So what you can see here is that this student, Matt Anderson, on Sport and Exercise Science, with this student number, has all his details in that feedback sheet. And also, based on the assessment sheet, I've got the course name, the module name, the code, the level, my name as the marker, the date it was submitted, and the date it's being marked, and all that information feeds through. Okay, so if I change the module name, code, you'll see that it feeds through. And not only does it feed through on that sheet, but it feeds through on every sheet. So immediately you've cut out the need to replicate inputting that kind of basic information. Now the next step is the marking. Unfortunately that's not quite as quick, but this does help speed it up. Because what we found was that for certain criteria, you're writing the same things repeatedly. Now, they might be different for different students, but if they've got a kind of first-class mark, you might write one set of comments, and if they've achieved a different mark, you might be tending to write the same things, because students do tend to make similar mistakes in their assessments. So this is intended to automate that particular function. So say I'm reading a piece of work, and I think this is worth, that particular criteria is worth 50, I've typed 50, and I've typed it in what's essentially a hidden column. So there's a column here, and the text in there is white on a white background, so you can't see it. If I press enter, what you'll see is the mark awarded is inputted. So it's, I've given it 50, the maximum marks available for that criteria are 15, so 50% 15 is 7.5. Now it's also, the function within in there also rounds up to the nearest half a mark, so there's no kind of weird marks coming through. And I can essentially do that for every single criterion. And if I miss one, if there's a zero, it does flag it up as being zero, because we did have a couple of instances where somebody had not typed in the mark and it added up wrong and we noticed it. But actually, it'd be nicer to have it really obvious. So we've done that. So it's obvious when you've missed a mark out. Okay, so you get to the end and you've done all your automated stuff. And then the feedback that's actually more useful, where you can tailor it to that student. So you've saved your time in the stuff that you might have repeatedly found yourself typing over and over again, and gained it to give the more personalised individual feedback there. The other bonus is we've got a mark sheet, and when you finish marking, it puts it through in the mark sheet, and so you can then upload that afterwards. Now, what this spreadsheet also used to do, and it will do again, I've been promised, but it used to allow an output of every tab as a PDF that was named in the correct format to be batch uploaded to Blackboard. Now, that function was withdrawn for various reasons, but was part of the assessment journey. That's one of the key actions that we've got, to bring that batch upload back. So what you can then do, there's another macro where you just press Control Shift and P. Now it's asking me, where do I want to save these files? So I won't do it, but you specify the folder, and then it just as it, when it was creating the tabs, it chunters through all those tabs, producing a PDF for every student. So even if you don't want to batch upload it, you've still got those electronic feedback sheets available. Okay, so that's the demonstration. I'm interested to know what you think.
How much are you selling it for?
I think that statement just got us in the assessment criteria grid.
Yeah,
so they're just mapped through.
Yeah. So if I just put, it's now decided not to respond. But yeah, if we put in a mark, I could have shown you that's what it's pulling out. So it's just based on a grid, yeah.
Obviously, it's on Excel, so it's offline. So presumably academics can sort of mark anywhere.
Yeah.
Do you have sort of a way of suggesting that they don't mark, for instance, when they're waiting for their child at the gym or whatever? So it's a bit more sort of professional practice rather than sort of marking wherever they can to sort of get through it. So I know they have a lot of marking, quite a lot of them, but obviously, because it is a very easy way for them to mark and it's a lot more useful for them.
Yeah, it's a convenient tool, and it can be used if you've got a computer wherever you find it convenient to mark. But I think most academics wouldn't choose to mark in distracting situations anyway, at least I would hope not. Yeah, but you're right, it's convenient and it can be used in a number of locations.
Is there a maximum number of students that you can comfortably deal with?
That's a good question. I've not tried it with more than about 120.
It works at 250, I mean.
So okay. 100
definite.
Yeah,
sorry.
One of my
works
colleagues.
250 for definite.
Oh, yeah, so one of my colleagues from
the
department.
But does that
open
them all as tabs along the bottom? Yeah, well, a couple of the tricks that Ali didn't show you there was, for a start, we need to make sure that the student list is in reverse alphabetical order, so that
yeah,
all
those instructions are in there.
Z.
And there's a few little things that might trip you up. If you have someone with a O apostrophe surname, like O'Toole, for example, you need to take the apostrophe out of the class list, because that'll trip the macro up, because macros work on apostrophes as part of the language. But little things like that, it's all in the instruction, which is why they're so detailed. sorry.
Yeah, I thought this looked wonderful, but being one of a team that have a kind of hate-hate relationship with Excel, did you need much support for everybody when they were first setting it up, the first using it?
Well, to be honest, when I first started using this, I was teaching a module on my own, a large module that probably had about 80 students on, and it was just driving me mad that it was taking so long to mark, and I knew I could save time, so I did it just on my own module. And it was then, as I started to refine it and get it working a bit better, I got another colleague involved who knew a little bit more about macros than I did, and we got the PDF side of it worked out. And then once it got to that stage, people became interested anyway, because you can see the kind of efficiency savings that you can have with it.
Okay, so it's, so for those who are starting now from scratch, what would your advice be about actually getting going?
Well, most people buy it as soon as they see it.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, you can see the benefits of using it. So they're interested in that as soon as they see that, and how easy it is to get the spreadsheet set up and how easy it is to output the feedback sheets. I've not really come across anyone who's particularly resistant to it, but I do work in a department where electronic assessment is quite advanced, so I don't have a lot of experience of getting the tech phobes on board. It does just sell itself, really. So you first.
I was just wondering whereabouts it's actually available for staff to download and start using it.
I don't think it is available apart from me, but make sure
just
it goes on Teaching Essentials. Yeah, I think I'll get out Teaching Essentials. But yeah, if you want to contact me, I'm happy to. So there you have it.
I was just going to add to the sort of guidance in terms of big teams. The first experience I had of using this spreadsheet was when Alison introduced it as a module leader for a project module. So we all used it as dissertation markers and second markers. So we all had experience of it kind of all neatly set up for us by the module leader. And then I've adopted this in every module that I teach. And when I was course leader for the course where it was added into, we started to use it across the board. The only thing I would add to what Alison's talked about today is making students aware of and using and seeing the whole assessment grid, so they're cognizant of the fact that when those the top bit of kind of semi-automated feedback goes in, they understand where it fits. They don't always register that it's the text from the grid that goes automatically into that sort of top two-thirds of the feedback, just so they're and it kind of ties in with what's been talked about in the keynote this morning in terms of students having a better kind of almost like a reciprocal relationship with their marking grids and their assessment and their feedback and feedback and so on. So that's the only thing kind of over there.
Yeah, it's a good point, because what's tripped us up in the past is we haven't really explained that, and then the students compare, as they naturally do, with their friends' feedback, and then you find they've got exactly the same comment, and I've got exactly the same thing as well, and they don't understand that we've deliberately automated or semi-automated that bit, and actually the personalised feedback is at the bottom.
Hello.
Sorry.
I was going to ask if on an individual sheet, if you wanted to modify the feedback comment, can you add to it?
You can't add to it. It's a bit faffy. It's not doing it. It basically, you've got to copy the cell and then paste it back as text, because that isn't text. That's a formula that's displaying text.
So it's best to put any.
Yeah.
Individual.
That's what it's designed for. It's designed to be automatic, but. Sometimes you get a student that's done really well, they've done really well the background element, but not very good at supporting information, and the comment just doesn't quite fit, in which case we usually overwrite the comments or copy it, paste it as text, and then edit it. But the idea is that if the comment didn't quite match, then we need to think about editing it. That's what we did with a lot of this. It's quite iterative, you know, developing it and finessing it as we went through.
That's good.
Sorry, you can
take
that. Right. It's refusing to work now. It's overwhelmed. Okay, any further questions?
I wanted to know how you marked all of them on the same day you got them in.
I'm nearly as fast as a computer. Okay. Diane.